Galactic Journey, October 30th, 1958, wrapping up the December 1958 galaxy. On a walk down the block on a warm autumn afternoon, I finished the rest of the December 1958 galaxy. I'd worked my way backward from the end, as I'd wanted to finish the next installment of Time Killer. Thus, I got to the lead novella, Join Us, by Finn O'Donovan, last. Both the name and the style were familiar. 18 pages into the tale, I recalled that O'Donovan is a pet name for Robert Sheckley. It is obvious from the writing style that it's a Sheckley story, and given that Time Killer is being serialized in the same issue, I'm not surprised Galaxy used a pseudonym. Of course, that means that of the 142 pages, a good half of them were penned by Sheckley. Galaxy is becoming Satellite, a bi-monthly magazine which features a full-length, though short novel, plus a short story or two. Being a Sheckley short, it's great. It's not science fiction, per se, or perhaps you might call it soft science fiction. This is the kind of stuff Galaxy pioneered and Sheckley excels at. This particular tale is about a splitter, one of a class of people in the future who splits his or her personality into three parts: the aggressive id, the conscientious and dull superego, and the fun-loving libido. The superego remains in its own body, while the other two parts are put into super-realistic androids. Traditionally, the polite superego stays on overcrowded Earth, while the libido heads to Mars, which is mostly a fleshpot and tourist resort. The tough id heads out to Venus, a wide-open jungle frontier. Sheckley's tale follows superego-bearing Crompton as he travels to Mars and Venus, desperate to reunite with his other parts. I think my favorite parts of the story involve Crompton's libido-bearer, Loomis, and his speeches justifying his hedonistic lifestyle, by which he makes fine money as a gigolo and escort. There's compelling satire here. Today, everything is biased toward the poor, as though there were some special virtue in improvidence. Yet the rich have their needs and necessities, too. These needs are unlike the needs of the poor, but no less urgent. The poor require food, shelter, medical attention. The government provides these admirably. But what about the needs of the rich? People laugh at the idea of a rich man having problems. But does the mere possession of credit exempt him from having problems? It does not. Quite the contrary. Wealth increases need and sharpens necessity, often leaving a rich man in a more truly necessitous condition than his poor brother. To the question, why doesn't the rich man give up his wealth? Loomis replies, why doesn't a poor man give up his poverty? No, it can't be done. We must accept the conditions that life has imposed on us. The burden of the rich is heavy. Still, they must bear it and seek aid where they can. The poor, poor rich people. Also amusing is Loomis's justifications for engaging in adultery. Blah. The poor, poor rich people. Also amusing is Loomis's justifications for engaging in adultery. He's quite convincing, too. Finishing up this month's galaxy is a short tale by the team of Fred Pohl and Cyril Kornbluth. This was obviously written some time ago, since Kornbluth died quite unseasonably of a heart attack in March of this year. He was only 34. I place my hand over my heart. The story is called Nightmare with Zeppelins, and it is less science fiction than an exercise in writing anachronistically. Specifically, it's a tale told by someone living during the Great War, reminiscing about his travels in Africa in 1864. It's fun, ironic stuff. The point of such an exercise, of course, is really to comment on the present. I might try my hand at it sometime. Next, the December 1958 F and SF. The original written article, linked stories, and images can be found at galacticjourney.org by Gideon Marcus.